Look at my notes for a few minutes now. I just want to say a few things this morning. I've been reminded this morning that God is with us. God's presence is here. You know, individually, God's done something for each one of you that is personal. He's been in situations that other people don't know about. You've spoken words to God that nobody else has heard. I want to encourage you this morning. He's heard your every word. Our God does not forget what we say. Our God does not forget what we pray. He's with us. He's for us. His heart is ever towards us. In my notes, I've put, when we didn't know him, he was thinking about us. When we weren't talking to him, he was watching over us. He knows everything about us. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what you find easy. He knows what you find difficult. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than the person on this earth that knows you well. He knows you so well. And he wants the best for you. And he wants to accomplish his purposes in you. And in accomplishing his purposes, you have to listen to him. You have to listen to him. And you have to do what he says. That's in my notes. We have to do what he says. Because the walk he's chosen for you, it's not the walk you would choose for yourself. I'm going to say that again. The walk he has chosen for you is not the walk that you would choose for yourself. The walk you would choose for yourself would be an easy walk. It'd be the walk that everybody else does. God is asking you to do a different walk. God is asking you to do a walk that is narrower. The path is narrower than the other walk. The walk that God wants you to do is a path that is narrower. There are not as many people on this walk, but he wants you to walk that path. And how are you going to walk that path? You're going to walk it because God is talking to you about how to walk it. God is talking to you about your future. God is talking to you about your gifting. God is talking to you about what you should be doing. And I want to say this, is very important and it's in my words. It's not about age. It is not about age. We're a very age-focused society. It is not about age. I'm just going to just wait one more minute to see if there's anything else that I need to say to you before I get saying what I'm going to say. This morning, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us during the meeting. This morning, he's been speaking to us. And all I want to say this morning is that he wants you to have a life that is so different than the life that you would have if you didn't belong to him. It's so different. Okay. God is good. I put here a couple of questions. If any of you have got a pen and a piece of paper, if any of you have got a notebook in your bag or you've got your phone, I'd encourage you just to jot down a couple of things that kind of jump out at you. This is probably going to be quite a personal word for you this morning, but I've waited on God for weeks for this word. God started to speak to me about this word not long after Ian spoke about the giants. And I've been weighing it up all the time. And I believe that this is for us, but it's a very personal word for today. So don't sit there and think, oh, this is for Tina. Don't think, oh, this is for Joe or for Peter behind you. I believe this word is for each and every one of us this morning. So what does your future look like? Okay, so you might be looking at your future. We were chatting the other Tuesday night about when we get our pensions, and we were laughing because obviously, people I was sat with got their pension at 60. I'm not jealous. But it's going to, I'm going to, I'll check, a few months ago, I thought, I'm going to have a look when I get my pension. Not getting rid of my years, but I just thought, let me have a look when I'm going to retire, when I can stop working. And it said 66. I thought, oh, still a way off that. And then I thought, right, what date is it going to be? And do you know when it is? It's about 4 hours before I'm 67. I thought, that's a lie. I'm like 24 hours off being 67. I thought, that is such a lie. I thought, it's 66 and 374 days. I am not impressed. Was it? No, 67. I retire, it says. So it's, oh, anyway, never mind the maths. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm better at reading God's word than I am in maths. So what does your future look like? Does your future depend on someone else? It's an important question, that. Does your future depend on someone else? I want to tell you, if the answer is yes to that, you need to rethink what you're saying about that. Your future should not depend on someone else. So I don't know whether that's a relationship or whether it's circumstances, but your future should not depend on someone else. And the reason I'm saying that is, God's got a plan for me, and my future does not depend on someone else. The plans that God has got for me are for me. They're for me. My responsibility to talk to God, to ask God, to seek God, to ask God questions, for God to change me. I'm not having someone else's future. I want the future that God's got for me and the plans that God has got for me. So if the answer to that is yes, you've got to start asking God about your own future. And if your future does depend on an individual, get praying. Pray over that individual. You don't have to tell them. Pray over that individual. What does your present look like? Is it good or is it rubbish? What does your present look like? Because I'm asking these questions because sometimes when we're in the present, it isn't always possible to see where we're going. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes in the present, it's not always possible to see where we are going. You can look at your circumstances now, but it might not be where God's got planned for you. What do you see? Very important what you see. Very important what you physically see. It's very important mentally what you see. It's very important your circumstances, how you view your circumstances. What do you see? And then I was thinking, you know, God is so good to us because in our Christian lives, he uses the words of the Bible. I've broken this down for people who are new Christians this morning. So some of you will think, well, that's quite basic. But I've broken it down for people because I don't want anybody in this room to miss what God's got for them. So he uses the words of the Bible. His scripture reminds us of what he speaks personally. And you know what's fantastic about God is? It's in a relational way. Isn't it much better when one of your friends says something to you rather than a stranger who comes out with something? Isn't it different? So I'm just thinking of an example. I'm a woman now of a certain age, and every now and again I get grey eyebrows. And a really good friend of mine said, get them dyed. Don't keep plucking them because you'll have none left. Which really made me laugh because I thought, there's not many people can talk to me like that. But it was a friend. And it really, really made me laugh. So I'm just giving you a funny example there. But I'd rather have something said to me by a friend than somebody who doesn't know me well. And God knows us so intimately that he can tell us stuff. He can tell us about where we're going wrong. He can tell us the mistakes we're making. He can tell us when we're relying on our own strength and not his. He's so gentle with us. When we do come in the relationship with God, we have a walk with him, and he changes the walk that we would have had. So those of you that have been a Christian a long time, you're looking back, you've got a completely different walk than you would have had if you'd not known God. And I'm very thankful for that. But I want to remind you this morning that the walk you still have as a Christian is his walk. It's not your walk. So you've still got the responsibility of asking God what your walk is. You've still got that responsibility as a Christian to find out what your walk is, where you're going. And in the walk, I want to encourage you, get a scripture. Get a picture. Get an identity of that walk that you're going to have with God. He gives us promises in life circumstances. I'm so glad that I've had promises in life circumstances. And on Tuesday night, we talked about, I'm reading something at the moment, and it was quite challenging, and it was saying that when God has given you promises before, or promises in the Bible, that write them down and have them ready for when something is said that where that promise of God's word isn't true, so it challenges it. And have them ready. And Mark made a really good point, which I hadn't thought of. And this is why it's great to come on a Tuesday, because Mark said something to me I hadn't thought of at all. And he said, when you write things down like that, it may form a pattern. So you're writing it on paper, and it might show you a pattern in your Christian life. And I went home and I thought, I'd not thought of that. But I'm being challenged to write down God's promises so that when I'm told that I'm not something, that in God I can go, I am, because God says this. And I know that we know this, but we need to put it into practice more and more. This morning I want to tell you about a man who had a different spirit. So what I want to do, you don't have to tell me how old you are, but if you're over 85, pop your hand up. I know. A bit higher. No, because you're doing fantastic. You're doing really well. So, is that the only person we've got over 85? Okay. This is one of the older people in our congregation. Okay. Right, so, this person lived till they were 85. At 85, they saw the promises of God fulfilled. At 85. Okay? So everybody else in this room, including yourself, I'm going to talk to you about Caleb. So Caleb is who I'm going to talk about this morning. And for those of you that don't know, Caleb was described as a man with a different spirit. And the scripture that I was reading was Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. So you mature Christians can go back and read that. And Caleb was representing the tribe of Judah. And when you read these chapters, you see what a standout person he was. What a person who was different. So a bit of background. Can I have the slide? First slide, please. I'm just going to turn this around and then I can see what you're thinking. So what I tried to do this morning was, it was difficult. I had a better map than that, but which showed more where the sea was and geography and everything. But this is a map of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Caleb represented Judah. This one here. Okay. And God spoke to Moses and said, send out the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. So each man was a leader of all those different tribes. And he sent them out. And what he said was, I want you to go and spy out the land. I want you to go and look at the land. And those of you that are familiar with this story, but I'll explain it for those that aren't. Go and spy out the land. Go and see what it looks like. Next slide. So that's the actual scripture, which I'll read out because it's being recorded. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country, see what the land is like, and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kinds of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. And it happened to be the grape season. So I want to use a little bit of a visual aid here. Grapes. Okay. So if I was to say to you, get me a bunch of grapes. You go to Sainsbury's, wouldn't you? You pick your grapes and you'd probably have a punnet of grapes. That's how we're used to seeing grapes. So the next slide. So that's a proper picture, that one. I've never seen grapes that big. And when the men came back, it took two of them to carry the grapes back on a pole. And I thought, well, how big must they have been? Then I did a bit of Googling. And that was probably more like what they would have been bringing back. Okay. The 12 men brought back pomegranates, figs. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the congregation. The land is full of milk and honey. But, do we have buts? Do we have buts? I can't do that. But I'm stressed. I haven't got enough experience. The buts you hear sometimes, when you hear somebody say they can't do something, for a reason. Have you ever listened to something and it's really pathetic what somebody says? Is it just me? It's really pathetic what somebody says. I can't do it because, and you're thinking, oh my word. That's a bit weak. We are all in positions where we don't feel adequate enough. So sometimes it can be a new job. Sometimes it can go into a new place. I hate going to a new place. Thank God for Google Maps, because I get lost anywhere, me. So as soon as I don't know where I'm going, I get lost. It's one of the things that I really struggle with. I have no sense of direction at all. But I love Google Maps. And I hate going to a place I've not been before. And I always get lost. And it doesn't matter whether I'm on foot or in the car. And Google Maps is great, but it's not great when you've got tall buildings around you trying to find where you're going. And you just get to the last bit when it says you're 2 minutes away. And can you find that place in those last 2 minutes? I struggle and usually have to ask somebody. In my other life, I'm really fortunate in the fact that I'm very privileged to have a team. And I have a team of 9 people. And in this team of 9 people, a while ago, there was only 3 people who'd got some experience. And the other 6 didn't have experience. And I was thinking about, you know, how am I going to get these people experienced? And over time, and I always pray about work, I pray about for people at work. You know, it's another part of my life. It's not exclusive to this. And I'm always asking God for ideas and solutions. And over time, it's coming up to 3 years this summer, those 6 people now are as experienced. I've caught up. And do you know what's fantastic about that? Is seeing how much they've grown. And some of them have said, I can't do that. I can't do that, Sue. I've never done it before. And then what I would say is, go and work with that person for an afternoon and go and watch how they do it. And then they come back to me and they might say, I still don't feel confident. And I might say, well, go and work with another person for an afternoon and get them to the point where they can do it on their own. And I have great satisfaction in seeing that person being able to go from, I can't do it, to actually watching them then go do a school assembly or do a story time for 30, 40 children,
or deliver a program of events. And I have the privilege and the pleasure of watching that over a period of time. How much more is our Father in heaven so pleased with us when he sees the changes that are made in us, when we trust him, when we haven't got the how-to. When we haven't got the how-to, that's how we grow and learn in God. When we haven't got the how-to, because God has the how-to. So I don't want you to be put off by something by saying, I don't know how to do it.
So the next slide, this is the response from 10 of the men who went out. And these were leaders. These were leaders, these men, of a great number of people. And they said, people are strong, the city's fortified and large, and there are giants. So this is what 10 of them said. And isn't that like us? Why we can't do things sometimes. Our human side of us will quite often, and we get scared, we get nervous about doing something different, because it's that thing in our humanity where we don't want to fail. But God doesn't want us to fail, and God gives us the ability. Sarah's got a T-shirt on. When you said she comes out from teaching the teenagers, she's got a Joshua 1 verse 9 T-shirt on. Be strong, be courageous. So Caleb's response was, slide 5, let's take possession of the land, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb took his stand because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, I thought that when people spoke, you know, when they said, oh, it's well good, and I thought that was a Manc expression. I thought it was, you know, the way the kids speak, because the kids do say, oh, it's well good that, really, you know. But when you read this, it says, we are well able, so not we're able, we are well able to overcome. We're well able to overcome. Caleb took his stand because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And then I thought, right, what does able mean? And in our New Living Translation in the Bible, it explains to us what it means. So the next slide, please. So able means having the power, having the capacity to prevail or succeed. The other word for prevail or succeed is also endure. And it's used 200 times in the Old Testament. We are enduring. We are pushing through. We are going forward. That's what we've learned when we've been doing the Ephesians, the battling, using the armour of God. Did Caleb see the same things as the others? Did he see the same things as the others? Did he see the giants? Did he see that the cities were well fortified? Did he see that the people were strong? He saw all those things. He saw exactly what the others saw. So it wasn't a blind faith. Caleb's perception was rooted in reality. And that's what God's got for us. God wants us to see things in reality, but then know what his plans and purposes are for us to deal with that reality. And that's the sort of church we are. That's the church that we are. We are a church that is rooted in our community. We are a church that understands the needs of the community. And it's not a blind faith. And God will give us and equip us for what we need. I am not talking about a Christian person who is so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use. We've all met those. We have met those, where they're almost in another world, and they love God, but they're not in the reality. Caleb had the conviction he would overcome, and he declared God's power in the face of a problem. It's very, very important what you declare. Very, very important verbally what you say. We know the scripture, out of the mouth, so the heart speaks. It's very important what you declare. It's very important what you declare over your body. It's very important what you declare over your family. It's very important what you declare over your circumstances. Caleb
declared that he would overcome. He declared the power in the face of the problem because Caleb knew the promises of God. Caleb had seen all the things that had happened with the Israelites. He'd seen everything to do with Egypt. He'd seen everything that had happened. He knew what his God was. So he was confident. Caleb was 40 years old and no doubt had overcome many obstacles. But he stood his ground. And he was aware, he was very aware of people's unbelief. As Christians, are you aware of people's unbelief? Are you aware of people's unbelief? He was not only faithful, but he was patient too. And God said, Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. In the beginning of chapter 14 of Numbers, the leaders say, we can't do this because they are stronger. Big men are there and we will be devoured. We were like ants. The congregation heard this and cried all night, weeping and wailing. And have you ever heard that phrase, we're doomed? That's what it would have been like. We're doomed. We're doomed. And then they said, if only we died in Egypt. So as soon as things are kind of difficult, it's so natural for us to go back. It's so natural, even that, you know, now you look at the news and the politics, everything is about going back. Let's go back. Let's select a leader. Let's go back. We're doomed. Moses and Aaron fell on their knees before the congregation, and so did Joshua and Caleb. And they spoke to all the congregation. And they begged the people not to rebel against the Lord. They knew that God would be angry. After God had been with all these people and brought them out of Egypt, he knew that they would be angry. And do you know what the congregation said? Can you remember what the congregation said? Anybody? Stone them. So there's Moses and Aaron, flat in front of everybody. Caleb and Joshua saying what they want to do going forwards. Yes, want to go into the land. Yes, we want to do what God says. Yes, we want to move forward. And the congregation said, stone them. That just made me laugh. God was angry after everything he'd done. He provided food. He brought them safely through the Red Sea. God had provided a way out of Egypt, and yet they still did not trust God. So the outcome was they'd been scouting the land for 40 days, and God said, for every day of unbelief will count as 1 year. And that's why the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. And it says in the Bible, it says that no one of that unbelieving generation was alive. And Caleb, at 85, went into the promised land and with Joshua. And that's in Joshua 15, verse 13 and 14. Caleb was rewarded for his faithfulness. He saw the land. God gave him the promise that he would own all the land that he'd seen as a spy. That's what God had said to him, because he had a different spirit. Now, I just want to just share a quick story with you. Last Saturday morning, I was at a women's conference. I drove to Southport on my own. I went to a women's conference. And a friend of mine was speaking there. And this friend of mine is 69 in August, and she's 70 next year. And she's come out of a very good marriage. Her husband passed away 11 years ago. She was in ministry with him. He was a minister. She was a minister's wife. But together, they also did an awful lot of counselling for couples and went all over Scotland ministering and had a great ministry together. When her husband passed away, she was bereft. And she was bereft because they had such a good relationship. And they had a ministry together that they were soulmates. So her husband passed away, and for all that time, I know that she struggled. She's had a walk with God, but she struggled to become a person on her own again. And you know, God's given her a new ministry at 69. God has given her a new prophetic ministry at 69, and she was the speaker at the conference. Now, my friend is quite quiet. It was her husband who was the speaker. It was her husband who was full of life, and she was the quieter partner. But God has still got a plan for her life, and she has now got a prophetic ministry. And she speaks at conferences, and she has left her original church and now gone to a different church where the prophetic is encouraged, and she is beginning to operate. And I just, when she came to see me 3 Sundays ago, I was just amazed at what God has done in that 11-year period. And God has given her a brand new ministry. So what I want to say to you this morning is, if you've had a ministry and you have put it down, pick it up. If you are in a place where you don't know what your ministry is, get before God. Because he'll give you a ministry. He will equip you to do what you need to do. God does not finish with us. The only bit, and I said this before to you, the only time he finished with us is when we're no longer here. Right? So when you're no longer here, you've finished what God wants you to do. But while you're here and while you're able, and God will give you what you need. And I thought this was wonderful that my friend has got this brand new ministry at 69. From the accounts of the life of Caleb, we see a faithful man who trusted God to fulfill his promises when others allowed their fears to override their small faith. Even in its later years, Caleb remained steadfast in his faith. God blessed Caleb for his faithfulness, patience, and encouragement to us to believe God. Like Caleb, we should be prepared to follow God in every circumstance, patiently waiting for him to fulfill his promises and ready to take action when the time is right. We need more Calebs. We need more Calebs. Some of you are older, and when you pray before God, he can give you words for people in this congregation. When you get before God and you're praying, he could give you a word for Mark about the direction of where church is going in. Do you see what I'm saying? There's not at no point where you need to hang up your ministry. There is no point where you're not useful. It's our society that tells people that they are not useful as they get older. That is not God's plans. Caleb was 85. When he entered the promised land. Okay, so I want to encourage you this morning. And I want to encourage you that if you can't do something, then ask God what he can give you so you can. And that's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to ask God so that he can give you what you need so you can. Okay, thank you.